Hey everybody, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I am giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by Lainey Davis. Lainey Davis is a USA Today best-selling author. She lives in Pittsburgh, which is in the USA, with her three feral sons, two rescued rabbits, and one tired husband. One tired husband, not husbands, just one. Not
Just one.
multiples.
It's not why I choose.
Her books feature brooding heroes, feisty heroines, steamy love scenes, and happily ever afters. Welcome to the podcast, Lainey.
Thank you, Leah. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. Before we talk playing for keeps, and some other things, there's lots going on. Let's get to know you a little bit. So what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
Yeah. So my mom was an avid romance reader. And
did
I
she
used
get the Harlequin boxes?
All of it, everything. And then
that's where I got my start too.
When the Kindle first came out, she started to do e-reading and she would buy the books again and again and realize, you know, she had already bought the title. And I used to make fun of her because I was into literature. But so she passed away 10 years ago, and as part of my grieving, I began just reading all of her books. And oh my gosh, they were so wonderful. And I was filled with regret that I couldn't, first of all, tell her how much I loved them. And also that I had wasted so many years of of not being able to read in that genre. So when I've always been a writer. I worked in corporate communications for my day job. And then when I wanted to start doing some fiction, it just made sense that I would choose romance.
So my mom, she was an avid romance reader. She got the Harlequin boxes and she still reads them now. So we actually, my kids swim and we were at the swim meet and my, like, we both bring our Kindles and like all that, like, find books for her and like give her recs, but she was reading Riley Edwards at it. And so we were sitting there talking about like this different series that she's read. And my dad is like, what are you talking about? We're like, books. He's like, okay, I don't want to pay attention now. But I was like, this is it. And she was, so Amanda, who does the podcast, loves Jasper Walker, who is one of like Riley's heroes. And that's the book that my mom was reading at the time. I was like, Amanda, my mom's reading Jasper. She's like, that's so exciting. But tell her she's mine. He's mine.
There's
like, my mom does not care about that part. That's great that you created that connection with her, like even after the fact, like in your grieving.
Yeah, and she used to pass shopping bags of books back and forth with her sisters and her friends. And I just remember, you know, I do remember just appreciating how it was a community about books. And
And Becky will talk about like how her mom would do the transferring of the shopping bag as well.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, so we didn't have neighbors to transfer things to.
Got it.
All right. What made you press publish that first time?
So I pressed publish because it was like late winter 2017. I came home and it was raining in my kid's bedroom. We had an ice dam.
Wait, in the bedroom?
In the bedroom, we had an ice dam. The roof needed to be replaced. And at that time, I had a day job. My husband had a day job. Like, we were already maxed out on our income. And a friend of mine said, you know, you could write romance and sell it on Amazon. I was like, I don't think I could. And he said, why? And I didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
So I tried it. And the first books that I published were these real short, from the heroine point of view, college romances. So
okay.
Deep in the Pocket and Hard Edge. Those were my very first. And then I thought up the Stagg Brothers. And I wrote all three of them before I tried to publish one. And then I rapid released them. So Sweet Distraction and Filled Potential and Fragile Illusion, all in the summer of 2018. And they actually did well, and it was so fun, and we were able to pay off the roof loan, and I just kept going because it was so fun writing those books.
Yeah, and it was fulfilling for you.
Oh, yeah. And By the time 2020 happened and we were locked down, writing my Brady Family series is what I was working on that year. It was like my only enjoyment in life while
Yeah.
I was remote homeschooling three elementary age boys.
It's, I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot for everybody, but, and I appreciate the people who like experienced what they did, but like being a parent during the epidemic was terrifyingly stressful.
Ugh, it's traumatizing. But so like every evening around 8 o'clock, I would go like hide and write a chapter of a book. And I loved it.
Yeah. If there was a piece of advice that present you could give past author you, what would it be? This is actually one of my favorite questions to ask right now.
Yeah, I think I would tell past me to think about the arc of a series before I started writing in the series. I am paying so much attention right now to Amy Award and Jennifer Lynn Barnes is, well, she writes young adult fiction, but she talks a lot about the psychology of fiction. And I'm learning so much about planning a series based on things that readers love and just really having a wonderful idea of what's going to happen in that series before you start writing it. And it's been, I think it's made the writing more fun for me, and I hope it's going to be more successful.
So, do you pants or do you plan, or is it kind of a mix of both, or have you adapted your way of writing since you're kind of adapting like this new
Yeah.
style?
Every year I plan more and more and
Yeah.
more before I start writing. And then by the time I sit down to write, I'm finding it's so much easier for me. I thrive with structure as
See, I thrive in chaos. Not that I would ever write. Like Becky and I like to joke, we can fix the words, but we can't write the words.
Well, I do rely on Becky to fix the words that I so carefully
This is
plan.
true. Do you have a subgenre or even a genre that you tend to read the most?
Oh, that I read the most. That's a great question. Right now I'm reading a lot of historicals, which seems so weird to me, but I go back to Lisa Kleypas's Ravenel's again and again and again. Wes Ravenel is mine. He's mine. You can't have him.
You licked him, he's yours.
He's like the original Roy Kent, I believe. And I don't think I understood that until a couple of months ago. I had a promotion from Barnes and Noble, and they put my Stag Brothers books next to the Ravenel's books in the website. And I was like, oh, they do have a similar kind of vibe, if I may be so bold. But I mean, I would never, ever say that I'm approaching anything like the greatness of Lisa Kleypas, but I can see how these like broody, grumpy brother in the 1800s would appeal to the same kinds of readers who like my broody, grumpy, wealthy modern brothers.
Well, but in your newest book, he's not broody or grumpy.
Oh, well, so right now I'm working on the next generation of my Stag brothers. And so
Yeah.
they were raised by perfect parents, of course. And so that's
So the
actually
broody
been.
wasn't necessary.
No, they're not broody because they had perfect parents. And so it's actually kind of harder to write these second gen books because I gave them perfect parents.
So, how for you do you balance the development of the relationship with the development of the story itself? Because you can't have one without the other. And some authors like really have that balance down pat, and some like they're still working on it. How do you personally find that balance?
So with this series in particular, the kids of my Stag Brothers, I really have to think about, okay, you had perfect parents and a perfect life. Like there needs to be something wrong with you. You have to have some kind of wound for there to be a story.
Right.
And so I try to find that for the heroes. Because of course the Stag Brothers all had sons. And then
There's a lot of testosterone in this
There's so much.
series.
And then I think of a heroine or a protagonist for them that is in opposition to that wound. So, one of the brothers was adopted, so he has kind of issues with his bio dad, and that really set up, I thought, a relationship that was Wyatt in Forging Legacy. And so his heroine has a really kind of firm, strong relationship with her mom and is really confident in herself and who she is, and that was in opposition to him struggling, if that makes sense.
No, it
So
does, yeah.
I try to in this series, in these series with these stag kids, I am starting with trying to figure out what could be wrong for the hero, and then thinking up a heroine that makes trouble with that.
Can you share any rituals or habits that you have that help you stay focused and productive when you're
Oh,
writing?
yeah. I mean, my ritual is that I can only write from my couch. And last year I had my back like seized up, and I was in physical therapy, and he's like, how many weeks would you say you've been writing from the couch? And I was like, okay, 50 times 5 years. And so I was like, 250 weeks. And he was just like, you can't do this. You can't write on your couch. You're in your 40s. You need to do better things for your body. So I try to do my other work in my ergonomic ball chair. I can't write unless I'm in the specific corner of my couch.
But you can do all the admin stuff and all that
Yeah, I can do
from
that
the
kind of
ball
work.
chair.
Yeah.
My daughter's teacher last year, they had a bunch of those like ball chairs. Like she didn't have regular chairs in the classroom. She had all like neurodiverse chairs, but like if the kids did better on one or the other, she would be like, you need to switch your chair. But it was so fun until like you went in as a parent and tried to sit down on
Oh, yeah, gosh.
them. She told us all the first time, she's like, don't sit on these ones because I don't know if they can handle above this weight. We're
Well,
like,
and I mean,
okay then.
you really have to use your core muscles to sit in these ball
Yes.
chairs, which is why my physical therapist wants me to do
To
that.
use the ball chair. Yeah. I mean, it's fun to say.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk. I just drew a complete blank on the title, but no, I know it is. Let's talk Playing for Keeps. This
Okay.
is book one in this hockey section of the second gen series. It came out
Yeah.
April 10th, 2025, so it is brand new at time of talk. The tropes are Wake Up Married, second gen, family series, and this one is hockey specific. So why did you choose to do the second gen of the Stags?
Because the Stag
You just
Brothers,
love them so much.
I love them so much and they sell the best. And I have been kind of veering more and more into rom-com a lot of my other series, and I realized I really just need to focus on the books that are profitable for me. This is my job. So I dove all into the Stag Brothers in late 2023, and that's pretty much what you're going to have coming at you for a couple of years.
So this one is Gunnar Stagg. He is one of four. He is Ty and Junipers. It's Odin, Gunnar, Alden, and Tucker. They're the twins.
Yeah.
So what I thought was interesting, though, and it does happen, but it is not super common, that you put all three brothers on the same team.
I worried about that. And I actually reached out to some other hockey romance authors. I was like, is this going to be too much? Are readers going to freak out? And they're like, it's fiction, it's fantasy, it's fine. And so I did look it up, and there's a few pro hockey teams that have two brothers on them. So I thought, not too much of a stretch to put a third brother in my fictional
Well, and it's
team.
one of those things. So it was either last it was a couple years ago, but it was a Steelers game, which we're still in the Pittsburgh world, but which is football. But they were I don't remember who they were playing, but there were four sets of brothers on the field, and but both sets were on like each team. So it's like the Steelers had Cam, the Haywards, Cam and his brother, I can't think of his name. And then at the time we had another set of brothers, and then the other team had two sets of brothers also. It was like the craziest thing. It's like, how often does that happen?
I mean, kind of a lot because
It
especially
does. It actually
if,
just does.
well, because if, you know, if the dad is a pro athlete, a lot of that is is genetic, but then they're growing up in this environment where the kids are nurtured in that way.
Yeah, it was just so crazy that there were so many sets like on one field. 'Cause a lot of
It was
times
like a
like you'll get the
romance novel
brothers
come
like,
to life.
I know, seriously, like you'll get the opposing ones. Like there was a hockey game recently. I was doom scrolling, I came across it, and it's two brothers, but they got into a fight like on the ice. And
Perfect.
the parents like were in the stands, like shaking their heads. Like,
Yeah.
I cannot like I can't believe they're doing this, but I can believe it at the same time.
I was just explaining to someone yesterday. I'm having someone come over to take some more author headshots, and the room where we're doing it is this room where I have bookshelves and I'm storing all my books. And she's like, "Well, what time of day should I come?" And I said, "It can't be before dark because my kids have smashed all the light bulbs in that room." And she was horrified, horrified. And I was like, "I have three sons. All they do is fight, and they smash the light bulbs throwing footballs at each other in the house. And yeah, it's a rule. They're not supposed to do that." And they did. So I'm just constantly surrounded by these brawling boys.
So it
I don't.
really works that the Stags all have boys.
Yeah, I mean, I have three sons. I realized long ago that I can only hang out with moms who have multiple
Boys.
sons. And the woman across the street has five sons, and her life is harder than
That's a
mine.
lot.
But, you know, if I'm driving home down my street, there's often just a takedown brawl of all of these brothers in the yard. Yeah.
So Gunner's, he's kind of a golden retriever. Like he is a good boy who like he loves hard, but he's serious, but he's not serious at the same time. Like he is one of those characters where you're like, I really enjoy like the way like his thought process is and how he cares for the people around him.
Well, thank you. Gunner was yelling at me in my head for a while. And I knew that he would just see somebody and be in love with her at first sight. And I couldn't wait to write
Honestly, that
that.
was one of my favorite moments, like when, because you get it from both points of views too, and it's in the like the beginning of the book, so I'm not spoiling anything, but like when they make eye contact with each other, like you know, like they both feel that jolt, and it's like one of those moments that I love in a book where it's like they first like see each other, like they've never spoken to each other, they are across the room, he hears her playing her cello, and he is enthralled by like the sounds like that she is like creating, and then they make eye contact. It's like, this is my person.
Yeah, well, thank you. I tried very hard to achieve that,
And so we have Emerson. She is our heroine. So she is trying to find her way out because her father is a douchebag of
He
like epic
is so
proportions
gross.
who's super controlling. And so, like, her journey is like trying to find herself while like learning who she is, but also who she is with Gunner, without Gunner. So there's like her storyline, it's pretty intense for a lot of the book.
Yeah, I needed her family to be really in opposition to the Stag family. And because of course, as soon as a Stag person declares their love for somebody, the rest of the family is like, "Oh, they're in. They're
Yeah.
part of us." So, I needed her to have something for them to save her from.
Well, and that's so when they're meeting the Stag, like she is meeting the Stag clan as Gunner's like going down all like how like all 25 of them, like he's like naming people, he's like, this is with this and these and these, and she's very overwhelmed because she did not have that kind of relationship, but once she gets in there and like they have no trouble like folding her right into like everything, which I thought was great. 'Cause you know, like when you first meet the in-laws, you never know how it's gonna go. Like it could be good, it could be bad, like, but it's very stressful.
I hear that that's true. I have great in-laws.
I do
And
too.
I guess part of the lore of the Stagg family is built on my like extended network of aunts from my life, but then also, I mean, I showed up at my now husband's house and his parents were like, "Oh, you belong here. Let us draw you around to"
So the first time I met my father-in-law, who I love my in-laws, like I got very lucky with them as well. We went out to dinner. I had never met them before, and we're sitting at dinner and like we get our plates. And he's like, "So we set a timer, and when the timer goes off, everybody shifts their plate." And I just blank, "What?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah. Like everybody orders something different and then like we shift so
Oh my God.
everybody can taste everything." And I'm like, okay. He's like, "I'm actually just kidding. We don't do that." I was like, thank goodness, because that would have been super weird.
I might steal that and write that into a book.
You should do that. But yeah, he was like dead serious. Like
Yeah.
I had like no idea like what to say to that. I was just like, okay.
I
But yeah,
mean,
it
my
was
husband and
very.
I do that. We split, and if we can't decide, we personally swap, but we don't know. And everybody in my extended family is way too much of a picky eater to make that real.
Well, yeah, it was just like chaos because I was like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, no, I think I'm gonna steal that and
You may. You are welcome to steal it. But
thank you.
yeah, but then like so my husband, he comes from huge families. Like both of his parents were one of seven. So it was just like when you went like first went into like the meeting, there was like so many people. So it was a little bit overwhelming, but they were all very welcoming and they were all big huggers. And I'm
Yeah.
not a huge hugger. And I was like, it's a lot of hugs. So goodbyes take forever.
Yeah, both my family and my husband's family too. Just the way that the Stagg family is, there isn't ever just a nuclear family gathering. If someone's gathering, everybody's showing
It's
up.
the whole clan.
Yeah. And I know, my dad resisted that my whole life. He'd be like, "Can't there just be four people here for dinner?" And no, because Aunt Judy and Aunt Dolly were always showing up
Hey,
and bringing everybody.
why keep it small when you can make it a party? But
Right.
everybody got along too. So, I mean, that's the big thing. Like, there's not like chaos. And that's one thing. Like, yes, Emerson's family is toxic, but like, we don't have that with Gunnar's side. Like, yes, they bicker. Yes, they fight, but they always come back together and they welcome her in without question.
Yeah, thank you. And that, I mean, that kind of environment is comforting, and that is that's something I seek out in series that I read. So I was really trying to create that.
And so the Stagg family is a big fan of the nickname as well.
They are nicknamers. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have Gunner, who is Gunny, Gun, G Stag, like so many things. And then he's like, you need a nickname too. So he calls her Salty, which I thought was wonderful because she's not really salty at all. Like she's this
Yeah.
super sweet. So it's a very like opposite nickname for her, but it works so well at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, and I am super excited. I'm gonna be doing a partnership with a chocolate, Umber Chocolates here in Pittsburgh,
Oh,
and
yeah.
she ships nationally, so stay tuned for info about this. But she has a salted caramel truffle, so
That
we're
sounds
gonna.
amazing.
Yeah, we're gonna do the salty, sweet truffles with Playing for Keeps.
That's awesome. I love a truffle.
I can't wait for you to experience this pairing.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. You'll have to send them to me because I avoid going to the city at all costs.
Okay. I'll have her send you up
So
one.
we have Playing for Keeps. It is out. It is delightful. Like there's a lot happening in this book. Emerson, trying to take herself out of the equation when her dad like really starts to like basically smear campaign life for everybody involved. But then we also have your Out of Bounds omnibus that's coming out.
Yeah. So I there's 10 Stag kids, and I didn't want to do a 10 book series because that's kind of overwhelming for readers. So I'm doing three trilogies, and then something special is happening with the last stag child. I'm not going to reveal that yet, but so there'll be three trilogies. And the first one was kind of a soccer romance series, and so the omnibus I gave it its own name. So that one's Out of Bounds, and that's all three that's the first three Stag Kid books. So there's Wes and Wyatt and Odin, and that's actually out now, and it's my special edition for in-person events for this year. What year are we in? 2025. Yeah.
2022.
Yeah. So it I have a hardback, and I got it foiled, and it's got sprayed edges with soccer goals on them. I
It's
really
really pretty. You
like
can't see it, but I can see it, and
fun.
it's real pretty.
And I was mentioning in the beginning, Leah, but I was so fortunate to get Carrie March for the cover design for this one. She's the designer who does Lucy Scorebooks, and she's just a dream to work with. And the cover, I do have a paperback edition of this omnibus for people who just want a simple, boring little thing, but I think the cover looks just as lovely with gold foil as it does printed without gold foil
Yeah,
on paperback.
I love this cover. Like it's like understated but strong at the same time.
Well,
I like
thank
the
you.
colors too.
Yeah, I mean, and I really didn't give Carrie a lot of direction either. I just said, it's soccer romance. I want you to help me pick a cover that will really appeal to sports romance readers. And she was like, okay, boom.
And you got this.
Yeah. She's
So
great to work
the
with.
ebook is not available yet. When will the ebook be available?
It's so complicated. I decided to put those the Stag Generations books in Kindle Unlimited. And it's been years and years since I've had a book in Kindle Unlimited, and I'm still kind of figuring out how all the rules work because I have a direct store, and I have a lot of my books in bundles on my direct store. So I think I can put the ebook up May 1st, and that gives me time to, because it'll
Figure it
all,
all out.
yes. So it'll be in Kindle Unlimited in May 1st, and I'll be able to pull down all of the things that would break the rules from my website. But
Well,
the
that makes sense.
audio, yeah, and the audio and the paperback will be available everywhere. And then the hardback is just for me.
Well, and Janine Granada does the female narrations, and I really enjoy her.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Janine and Bryant did the series. So the first book in the series, the heroine is Cuban American, Kara. And that I went to the Women's Soccer World Cup in 2023, and I don't know if listeners know this, but at the final, the captain of the Spanish national team who won was grabbed and kissed on the mouth on international television against her will. And I couldn't get it out of my head. And I was supposed to be working on a rom-com series and I couldn't sleep at night. It was just like all I was thinking about is here is this woman, she's the best in the world, being grabbed and kissed on television. So I was like, I have to write this into a book. I have to figure out what it would be like to be in a relationship with her, what that would be like. So that is where Forging Passion and Forging Glory came from. And I was working with an audio production studio at the time, and they were just like, it's really appropriate if you find a performer who matches the background of your heroine in this case. And they recommended Janine, and oh, she's so good. She's so good.
Yeah, her voice, her cadence, like it flows really nicely. Like even when you, because I listen to my audiobooks sped up, and some people speed up really well, and some people they don't speed up as good, but she speeds up very well, but she has a really like nice flow to like the way in which she speaks.
Yeah, I just think she was so great. So I used her for the whole series. And then Bryant Walker is the narrator for all of the Stag Eyes
Males. Yeah.
first trilogy. Yeah.
So thank you, Lainey, for dropping in and hanging out with me this morning. I mean, it is morning currently while we're recording, but probably not when this actually drops. So, but thanks for coming and hanging out.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such a treat. I love listening to your podcast and I love, having you guys on my editorial
Although
team. So.
I did forget one little thing. So as fellow Pittsburgher, I love the fact that you used Gunner's number as 29 for a flower, but it's like that it hits you in like the feels as a Pittsburgher because he's retiring this
Oh my
year.
gosh, just sobbing all the time whenever I see Marc-Andre
Have
online.
you seen like his retirement like flow, like the teams that like just the joy that I see like all of these teams, the way they're treating him, and like, because he is one, he's a fantastic goalie, and we have not had a great goalie since he left.
No, we have not.
But just the respect that this man is
Oh,
getting from all
everyone
of
loves
these
him.
teams.
And then he brings his kids on the
Oh,
ice.
I know.
Ugh.
Like
Heartthrob.
he is going out in style.
Yeah.
As he should, because he is
As
one of the
he
best
should.
goalies. But he's so genuine too. And I love when I get stuck in like the Marc-Andre Fleury like prank TikToks.
Oh, I haven't gone into
So
that.
he likes to prank like Sid and Letang and all of them. Like anytime he comes back to Pittsburgh or they like go visit him, like he pranks them.
I love it. Oh
He
my
does
gosh.
ridiculous things. Like one, he taped Sid's gear up
Love
and put it in his locker.
it.
You'll have to find it. If I
I
find one,
will.
next time I come across one, I'll just message it to you.
Thank you. But I also love that Marc-Andre speaks to the goal, like the pipes in
Yes.
English and French, because he doesn't know if the steel came from
Yeah.
US or from Canada, and he wants to be inclusive.
Yeah, he is one of those players where like I am sad to see him go, 'cause he has just been a genuine joy, one, to watch on the ice, and two, like he is such a good guy.
Yeah, well, he definitely was the inspiration for Gunnar's character
I mean, it
in many ways.
fits.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate your love of Pittsburgh sports.
Oh, well, I will continue that.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.